news was sponsored by Joint Relief Institute. Home crowd at the UC, check. Eastern Conference rival, check. A chance to knock the Knicks down a peg, you bet. Bulls Knicks Tuesday at 7 on WGN-TV. We're going to rearrange our lineup just a little bit here because one of our guests is early and one of our guests is late. We won't say any names, Mayor Elect Lightfoot, but Justin Kolovsek with the Museum of Broadcast Communications. You have an amazing new exhibit coming next month to the NBC, and we want everybody to know about it. Hi there.
How you doing?
Thanks for rushing up. Sorry you had a little security
issue. That's okay. No worries.
Not because of anything you did.
Nothing I did.
No. You're legal. You're all good to be here. So tell us about this awesome exhibit that's coming next month.
Yeah. So after the amazing turnout for Saturday Night Live, The Experience.
Yeah.
We now have Louder Than Words.
Okay.
Which is rock, power, and politics. And this exhibit is actually direct from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland.
Very cool.
It is every kind of rock and roll artifact that you'd like to see. It looks at some of the most important topics in politics, rock, and roll. It's amazing.
It is amazing. The exhibit is going to include exclusive video interviews with, oh God, some of these names, Bono, Dee Snider, Lars from Metallica, Gloria Estefan, Greg Allman, Jimmy Carter.
Yeah. I mean, it's the list literally goes on and on. And then, you know, the issues are everything from civil rights, LGBTQ rights, feminism, war and peace, censorship, political campaigns, political causes, international politics. And it really is this educational look going from Eisenhower all the way to Trump.
Boy.
And
everything in between.
Yeah. Some of the artifacts are things like Grace Slick's vest worn at Woodstock.
So celebrating 50 years,
we thought that was a good thing to have in there. Different correspondence with the FBI, literally Bob Dylan's handwritten lyrics for The Times They Are Changing. You know, lots of really, really unique things. Bruce Springsteen's Born in the USA lyrics.
Yeah, Green Day's American Idiot.
Yeah.
And these were all, this is interesting to me because they're all handwritten.
Yeah, so these are all on like legal pads and you know different
note cards,
yeah,
and napkins. Any cocktail napkins?
Maybe. I haven't seen all of them yet.
That's when this exhibit comes. I mean, because this is a big deal. A lot of this is on loan from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Do you have to use like white gloves?
Absolutely,
you do.
So the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame will actually come in and they will install the guitars, the different memorabilia pieces that we'll have. You know, and then we'll kind of manage it from there on.
That is fantastic. So. I also saw in your notes, too, the original Village People stage costumes are going to be there.
Yeah, all of them. That's actually for kind of, there's a whole section on LGBT rights.
Okay.
And so that is kind of the, that area is called Gay Goes Mainstream.
Oh, that's so cool. This is so cool.
Some pretty cool stuff. There's literally artifacts from about 50 different artists, including one that has made a little controversy of her own lately. Joy, I'm going to butcher the name, Joy Villia.
Okay.
Who wore the Make America Great Again dress at the Grammy Awards.
Oh, yeah.
So we have that dress coming.
I know there's Lady Gaga artifacts as well.
Lady Gaga, we have...
please don't tell me you have the meat costume.
We don't.
Okay.
We don't have the meat costume.
Good, because
there's some
other
pieces.
Awful smell.
Yeah, no, absolutely. We have from... because it's each president,
mm-hmm.
from Eisenhower to Trump, for Obama, we have Aretha Franklin's hat that she wore at the inauguration.
Oh, how cool.
So some really cool artifacts that really are, you know, showcasing not only American but internationally, you know, all these wonderful pieces of rock memorabilia,
and it's all genres of music too. Alan Jackson, Kendrick Lamar, Queen Latifah, John Lennon. I mean, this. How did you snag this?
So this exhibit's actually traveled. We're not the first place to get this. However, it's never been in Chicago.
Okay.
And it usually, it's actually toured. So it went from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame to the Newseum in Washington, D.C.
I love the Newseum. My friend Sonia is in charge of that.
Okay.
She's a local reporter who moved to D.C. I think a boy was involved. They're married now. And she runs the Newseum. The Newseum is the very first, one of the first museums I had been to in D.C. After, of course, you know, the Smithsonian and you go to the big museums. But the Newseum has grown so much. It was right after, I would say, maybe a few years after 9/11 or a few years after they had brought this exhibit there. But it was a 9/11 exhibit, and it was the newspaper, the front page of every newspaper that had 9/11 on the front page of
sure.
the paper, the hardcover, you know, the print, the newsprint,
yeah.
all on display. It was the most moving thing I'd ever seen.
Yeah, it's a great museum to visit in D.C., definitely.
And the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, if you haven't been there, now, I know you have, but
it's amazing.
It's so cool.
It is. It really is. Just a little more history about this. After the Newseum, then it went to the Ford Museum.
Okay.
President Ford's Museum, and then it went to Bill Clinton's Museum
and
Library.
Excellent.
So it's been there. It's going to come here, and then after us, it's actually going to George Bush Senior's.
Oh, so we're in between the presidential libraries.
We're in between the presidential libraries. A cool presidential artifact. We have Bill Clinton's saxophone.
Oh, that's excellent.
So there's some really, I mean, like, really great memorabilia here.
We should preface this by saying this is not touchable either. I mean, these are
not
in cases.
So don't
think you're going to go and play Bill Clinton's saxophone.
Right. So if you came to SNL The Experience, that was an immersive place where you could sit on the Wayne's World couch and sit on different artifacts. This is a little more behind the glass, you could say.
I love, you know, I'm glad, let's take a pause here for a second, and we're going to come back to this exhibit, but I really enjoyed the SNL. I know, I wish it could have stayed longer. I know the time that it was here, it was actually expanded a little bit too, but how successful was that exhibit?
It was, you know what it did? Tens of thousands of people came to the Museum of Broadcast. And the year before, tens of thousands of people did not come to the Museum of Broadcast.
Wow.
So it really brought people in. It brought tourists in, because we went from being kind of a Chicago museum to being more of a nationally known museum for having this exhibit. And that's now with Louder Than Words. That's kind of the cycle that we're going to continue on. Don't worry, we still have Bozo, Ray Rayner, Garfield Goose.
Oprah's Door,
all that kind of stuff. We still have that. But now this is going to be a new, you know, a new temporary exhibit.
I remember years and years ago when the Museum of Broadcast Communications was an idea. Wasn't it just this small little faction of the Chicago Cultural Center?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. The one thing that is crazy that people don't realize about the museum, we have 85,000 hours of artifacts, video footage, sorry. So there's all of this content, and, you know, as funds start to come in, we're able to digitize more content, different genres, different projects will come in. People like years ago, Oprah Winfrey gave money to do all of the civil rights footage that the museum had.
That's right, yeah. That was an undertaking.
Yeah, yeah. Colonel Pritzker, she's actually given over the years, she's given to all of the military content that we have. So lots of different, you know, kind of going in, first curating and saying, okay, you know, this is military, this is civil rights, this is music, and then going in and trying to find, you know, how are we going to get this done? How are we going to get this sponsored to get this content out there?
It's just wonderful. Oh, and I have to give a plug too. The WGN, the original console, the board, as we like to call it here, which is basically what it is. It's a board with all these knobs and buttons on them, and it's how we turn your mic on and off and make you louder and quiet you down too. That is there. That's where it was. Bob Collins and Wally Phillips and Spike Odell's.
Yep.
The actual board. And I remember, I think he used to doodle on it too. Spike would draw pictures on it.
So what's really funny, if you right in the main, where you're sitting right now,
yes.
basically, at the board. If you were to open up one of the all the drawers, they still say Bob Collins.
Do they really?
Yeah, they have all, you know, they have all these different names on there. So it's pretty cool.
No.
So it really is a piece of history. We're actually, that radio studio, we're actually now configuring also with video, and we're going to be opening that up so people can come in and do podcast, both video and audio podcasting and stuff.
That is cool. Can we tell stories too?
Yeah, of
course. One of my favorite stories about that board is that after Bob Collins passed away and Spike Odell became the morning show host at WGN, it was 2000. Oh, God, I couldn't even tell you. It was either 2000 or 2001. I think it was 2000, and Spike would have to correct me. I didn't start anchoring with him until 2005. But when he was the morning show man, Tom Peterson, my former boss, who was his news anchor, said that every day Bob Collins' wife would pack his lunch, and he would have a piece of fruit, like an apple or an orange or whatever it would be, and he would just leave it on top of that console. And the day that he had passed away, the morning, he had worked that morning, he had took the orange that he didn't eat from that day, left it on the console, and either Spike would eat it or somebody else would throw it out later in the day. He kept that orange there for weeks and weeks and
wow.
weeks and weeks and weeks. And then, of course, it got moldy and gross, and he had to throw it out. But just a emotional little sidebar to that.
That desk has a lot of history.
It does.
You know, when you think about all of the breaking news that was done from that desk, all the different interviews done at that desk, and to think that it's now at the Museum of Broadcast and it'll be there. It's actually in the Paul and Angel Harvey radio studio.
Yeah.
They were dear friends of the Museum of Broadcast.
That's
so,
right. That's right.
Radio studio is named after them, but it is the WGN Council sitting there in the radio studio. All rewired and everything. So,
and the original, there's microphones there. I think there's a Scopes, for pictures at least, of the Scopes monkey trial microphone.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much history in the city and with our field.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. And not only on the radio side, I mean, we have, you know, Charlie McCarthy, we have, all of that from the Radio Hall of Fame side of the museum, and then we have all the television stuff as well from WGN TV. We've got, you know, all of Bozo. We have all the costumes and even the big drums that they would draw names out of.
Okay,
we still have in those drums. There's still postcards.
Oh, I bet mine's in there.
So yeah,
I went to the Bozo show when I was 6 years old, and I was, you know, I remember we had to be on the waiting list for all these years, and people were putting their kids on the waiting list even before they had their
sure.
kids.
Absolutely.
And you still have some of those cards?
Yeah, the cards are actually still in the big drums that they would pick from for play at home.
Frazier Thomas, right? He was the one who had to spin the wheel.
Yeah.
He was one of the guys.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
You know, and we have Garfield Goose. We have all sorts of Chicago memorabilia. You know, on the kids' side, we have Svengoolie, of course, 40 years.
Oh, yeah.
So,
Svengoolie's been 40 years?
Yeah, it's been around
for
40
that?
Years.
Holy cow.
It's been different Svengoolie.
Rich
you know.
Goes. Yeah, yeah.
Not just Rich, but...
There was, who was the Svengoolie before him? Oh, God, I'm calling you out, aren't I?
Where is David Plyer when we need him?
He would know
right now.
We want to say a big shout out to Dave Plyer. He was going to come in and be with you.
Yeah.
He's helping his mom out,
mm-hmm.
And we send her all of our love, our thoughts, and prayers. And we're with Dave tonight and his mom and his family because he's taking care of some family issues.
Absolutely.
So we hope he's okay. But we have Justin Kulivsek here from the Museum of Broadcast Communication. Communications, rather. That's the second time I've stumbled over Museum of Broadcast Communications, and you think it would just boom. I hope to someday be in there. You know, I used to save all my notebooks when I was a reporter, and I thought, oh, someday this is going to be in the museum.
Hey, you never know.
So I have bins and bins, Justin, from, you know, the Blagojevich trial, if you ever want any of that.
I'm sure we would.
You can
we can definitely talk about it and make something happen.
You can politely decline. That's okay. I understand. But we took a little bit of a break to talk about the museum itself, and I'm glad we did, because if you haven't been, you need to see this museum. There's so much history there, and the exhibit that's coming is Rock, Louder Than Words, Rock Power and Politics from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Tell us a few more things that we can expect to see with the new exhibit.
Yeah, so I think I love the tagline also, and it's whether you're red or blue, we all bleed rock and roll.
I
think that's really true, because
it is true.
We've had a few people, you know, since we've announced this, that have said, you know, well, so is this going to be, you know, very far to the left or, you know, to the right, or what is this? And it really is. It is a historical look, starting with President Eisenhower through President Trump. And it is artifacts based on, you know, there's literally also things like Joe Strummer from The Clash. His 1966 Fender guitar, which we're actually using as kind of a piece from our on our promos and stuff too for it. So
I actually have a Joe Strummer story,
and
I know you're dying to hear it, aren't you?
What is that?
One of my dear friends, he is okay. This is 6 degrees. This is like 3 degrees of how everybody knows one another. So
sure.
I work in a show called House March with Lou Manfredini. One of Lou's photographers is Bobby Picariff, who was a huge Clash fan. And named his, well, his son's middle name is Strummer.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. I know it's a stretch, but nonetheless, he's a huge, I could see him actually taking his son, who's now, I think, 12 or 13 years old, and coming here just to see the Clash guitar. It's a 1966 Fender Telecaster.
It is.
And not playable, right?
Not playable.
Okay, no.
No.
I'm trying, Justin.
I know, unfortunately, with this exhibit, it's your more traditional museum exhibit. It is not an experience like SNL was, where you sit down on things and take photos right there on the...
This is cool, though. I am so excited this is coming to Chicago. And this is the only appearance in Chicago for this exhibit.
It will be the only appearance in Chicago. It's going to be here from Memorial Day through Labor Day.
Okay.
If last year was considered the year of comedy at the museum, this is going to be the year of rock, because after this, we are currently talking about bringing something else from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame there as well.
Oh, so, can you give us a clue? Well, wait, hold it. Okay, hold that thought. We'll be back with Justin Kolosek in just a moment here on 720 WGN. We're talking about the exhibit Louder Than Words, Rock, Power, and Politics. Some of the artists, Beyonce, Bono, Eric Clapton, Bill Clinton, George Clinton, Sam Cooke, Bob Dylan, Melissa Etheridge, Aretha Franklin, Lady Gaga, Green Day, Jimi Hendrix, The Pretenders, Alan Jackson, Elvis Presley. I'm sure I'm hitting somebody's favorite with all of this. Sorry about that.
100%. Every single, it doesn't matter what genre, what year, or what decade of rock and roll you love, there's something in here for you.
And
it is also a historical look. This really is an educational exhibit. You're going to have a lot of fun. You're going to learn things you never knew. But you are also, it is truly an educational exhibit.
And what's the clue? What's the one that's coming next that I said hold on to that we were going to take a break for, but... We just couldn't wait through the break to hear it.
Well,
just a little clue after the year of rock? More rock?
More rock.
Oh, is that good?
Literally, the year of rock will continue. Yeah.
But all right.
It's a new partnership then we'll have with the Rock Hall.
All right, cool. Will you hang out with us for a little bit more?
Absolutely. I'd love to.
Excellent. It's Justin Kolosek from the Museum of Broadcast Communications on the new exhibit, Louder Than Words, Rock, Power, and Politics from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It debuts next month. 836 720 WGN. We talked all about the year of comedy. We're talking all about the year of rock now at the Museum of Broadcast Communications as they're announcing Louder Than Words, Rock, Power, and Politics, the new exhibit that comes directly from Cleveland and the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Justin Kolosek is with us from the museum, and I think you described that perfectly, the year of comedy to the year of rock. But you were telling me kind of an interesting story that I want you to tell everybody who's listening, how the SNL, first of all, that took so long to put together and the intricacies of it, and you were actually playing Jeopardy, and you were, well, let me have you tell it.
Yeah, so the exhibit took almost a year and a half to just get to Chicago.
Okay.
Like, negotiations with the exhibit company, with Broadway Video, with NBC, with the museum, everyone there. Then we open, huge success, love it, all of this, and literally last weekend, you know, well, the 31st was the last day of the exhibit. If you walked in there today, everything's gone.
Isn't that crazy?
Is it
just like a ghost town?
It took, you know, almost a month to put it up, and it took like less than a week to get all the artifacts back on trucks. And they left today. There are no more SNL artifacts at the Museum of Broadcast right now.
Where did it go?
It's going, actually, artifacts are going back to Broadway Video, to their storage, and they're going to be announcing soon then where things will be going. But they need the costumes back just in case, you know, someone pops up.
Oh, sure.
You know, while it was here, we actually had to send costumes back when Will Ferrell hosted. We had to send his cheerleading costume back and his Harry Carey costume back. When Bill Hader hosted, we had to send back his Stefan costume, Melissa McCarthy's the bunny costume for Sean Spicer.
Yeah.
So we had to send those back, and so Broadway Video actually has taken the artifacts back, but the exhibit will be traveling somewhere else soon.
Now, how does that work when, say, Will Ferrell needs his costume back, or he needs the cheerleading outfit back? Do you have to put the white gloves back on again?
You put the white gloves on, and it's always funny because we have these procedures that we're to go through and comply with.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get the costume back from Broadway Video, and it's like in a box, kind of just folded up, and you know, not in anything special, no special bags that everything's in. It was literally like, here you go. Put it back on the mannequin, thanks.
Holy cow.
A lot of fun. And so one of the things that we're right now talking with Broadway Video, with Lauren Michaels, if you're listening, we really want to get as part of this exhibit. It's not in there right now, but one of the protest pieces out there from SNL would be the torn Pope picture. Sinead O'Connor's
picture,
which they still do have at Broadway Video. So again, Broadway Video, if you're listening, we'd love to you've trusted us for the past 18 months with so many of your possessions. We would love that as well.
Dude, it's like an all call to Broadway and to Lauren Michaels.
Exactly.
To have it. What was one of your favorites from the SNL?
Just from the exhibit?
Yeah, from the exhibit.
You know, it was really funny because one of the very last days, I finally walked around and I felt like every time I would walk through, I'd see something new. I really love the Tuesday writer's room because it's hearing from them directly.
Yeah, that is cool.
It was just so cool. And I think I think anytime that you can hear these stories direct from, you know, from the people that are living it, it's always incredible. And I think also to tie in Louder Than Words, I mean, really hearing from some of these amazing artists, the fact that there are video monitors all over this exhibit where you will hear from different people, you will hear from presidents, you will hear from rockers. And so,
and are they talking about the exhibit? Are they talking about the items that they donated?
The items or stories, you know, whether it be Bono talking about all of the charity work that he's done throughout the years and how so much of their music has actually been political. You know, I think there's a lot of things like that within this exhibit that people are just, they're going to love.
I can't wait to see it. One of my favorite part, I think, and of course, this probably is par for the course, but I love the news desk that you get, the weekend update desk. That was so cool.
Yeah, absolutely. WGN did a bunch of broadcasts.
We had the Cochran show there one day, and I was out there. We had John Williams show, Bill and Wendy were out there too.
Ro took over the entire stage.
Oh,
we did that on a Monday when we were closed, and so he actually had a live band and all sorts of people.
I love how, well, it's not giving anything away now because if you missed it, sorry, maybe it'll come back again, but for now it's gone to make way for this new awesome exhibit. But I love the fact that, you know, it almost was like you were sitting in the audience on the chairs that they're similar to the kind that they have at the actual broadcast.
Swivel chairs.
Yeah, the swivel chairs. And then the lights went down and then the screen came out and Tina Fey, and I don't know how you did this. It was like the perfect hologram. It was like she was actually standing there.
Yeah, it's a really, really, really expensive projector.
Oh my God. Because we were way in the back at that point and took a double take and went, wait a minute.
Yeah, it's really cool. It was a lot of fun. And also, while she would be on home base, if you looked over to the right or the left, you'd actually start to see the crew on the different screens that we had. You'd see the crew kind of getting lights ready or getting the audio ready, cameras moving around and such. So they really tried to make it so that it was this immersive experience where you were sitting there. It was as if you were, you know, you were actually at 8H watching a show.
It was awesome. And did you get to learn any of the inner workings, too, about SNL, just having the exhibit there, kind of some of these? Do they really do the writer's room and they meet on, say, what, a Monday or Tuesday and then practice through the rest of the week?
I think one of the really fun stories is that, and I've heard this from many SNL cast members now, and they will remain nameless.
Will they really?
They will.
Okay. Off their records, off their record.
But on Monday, everyone actually piles into Lorne Michaels' office and they have a meeting where they're meeting the host for the week. And it's not only it's the writers, but it's also the cast. And so they all come in and they have to do this like impromptu pitching a sketch idea.
Okay. This is on Monday.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they're awful. Like every really? Person I know that has talked about these Monday meetings, they're just like people are literally just coming up with anything. And then Tuesday is when it really starts the writing.
That's when it gets real.
Yeah. There's some, but we also so we had Bobby Moynihan in early March. And when we had him in, he was walking around and he had tears in his eyes. So he was walking around places because he said, this is so real. The other thing that so many cast members have said, they were so impressed that it not only gave the spotlight to the cast, but it also gave the spotlight to the crew.
Yes.
And all the people behind the scenes. And I have to give props to Mark Locke, who created that exhibit and now who's also one of the creative directors of Hamilton, the exhibition that's opening at Northerly Island here in the end of April.
Which is so cool that Broadway in Chicago is a part of that as well. That is going to be amazing, too.
Mark has done amazing work here in Chicago, whether it be King Tut, Titanic, SNL and now Hamilton, but he always makes sure that the credit is given where it should be.
I'm glad you brought up the crew too, because one of my they work so hard, and it's got to be so difficult because you're in a room, obviously, when SNL is on, you're on the stage, and you don't have that many, you don't have multiple rooms to work with. You know, you're on a stage. And I really like, and they just started this the past few years, Justin, is when they go to break, they come back and they say, coming up, more with Kit Harington. I'm just saying that because he was the host on Saturday. More with Kit Harington. But then you can see the crew and they're rushing to put together, you know, they're rushing to put the chairs in and get the Jeopardy set up.
A lot of people also loved the control room.
Oh, yeah.
Because you actually would hear them calling the show.
Yeah.
And you even heard there was a moment where Don Roy King, the director, is saying, we're not going to make it. We're not going to make it. Let's figure something out, guys. And because it's live and it's just happening at that time.
Yeah.
So, really some cool things. It was bittersweet to see it go.
Wish
it could stay. But at the same time, you know, onto other things.
Onto this. This is going to be amazing. And tell us when it opens again.
It opens Memorial Day weekend.
And it goes through Labor Day?
Labor Day.
You'll extend it, won't you?
Come on. Don't know.
Is it up to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
We'll see.
As to when they want their stuff back?
Yeah.
Now, who decides what? I know you pretty much have every artist on the planet involved in this, from Beyonce to Elvis to Stevie Wonder to Anne to Hart, Grace
John
Slick,
Lennon and
Twisted Sister.
John Lennon and Yoko Ono.
I mean, so who decides goes?
This was all curated by the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
So they pick.
So there's been a few things where we've said like, hey, is there any chance that we have something Chicago that we can get in there? You know, some artifact from somebody here.
Some time.
But at the same time, it really was up to them.
You know what? I love hearing stories about when artists come to Chicago and how they enjoy our city or different restaurants they go to. And when I lived up in Wrigleyville, Lakeview, there was a place, I think it's still there, Chicago Diner. And it was a vegetarian/vegan restaurant, very popular, very good food. But I walked past that 100 times and never really gave it a second thought. And my next door neighbor at the time said that she was walking by, and who pulls up in front of Chicago Diner and gets out? It was the Pretenders.
Okay.
And Chrissy Hynde. And could not have been nicer. Sat there, and of course, it's Chrissy Hynde. So people are coming up in Chicago Diner, and they're asking for autographs and pictures at the time. And she obliged every person who came up to her. And I've heard that about Joan Jett too. Is that when she comes to town, every autograph is signed.
The other person that used to hang out there all the time was Lady Gaga.
Really?
Yeah. So, as part of her kind of being a vegetarian and stuff, it's one of her favorite places in Chicago to dine. So
I like
that's at first who I thought you were going to say.
Yeah, then, you thought I was going to say Gaga?
Yeah.
So. Well, she lived here for a while, too, because she was dating Taylor Kinney.
Yeah.
Or engaged to. So.
Right.
Is it the engagement ring? Is that what's going to be there? Okay.
No.
Hang out for just a few more minutes here.
Sure.
We're talking to Justin Kolobczyk from the Museum of Broadcast Communications about this awesome new exhibit that is going to open next month. We'll take a quick break and come back after this on 720 WGN. 850-720-WGN. Mayor-elect Lori Lightfoot joins us on the radio this evening. Hopefully we're not interrupting the big game. We are, aren't we, Mayor-elect?
I'm just sitting here, got the game on, and got a little root beer float for dessert, so I'm good.
Okay. All right. Now, I have to ask you the tough question first. You threw out the first pitch at the White Sox game last week. You threw out the first pitch at the Cubs game this week. What had the better feel? Now, be honest.
Well, you know, I'm going to give the political answer there.
Right.
As a decades long White Sox season ticket holder, I got to root for my home team. But you know, today was a beautiful day at Wrigley, and got to meet some of the Cubby greats. So we had fun there as well.
All right, not to be armchair quarterback or armchair pitcher, but I think the throw was a little bit better today.
Let's just say I gave myself like a C. For Friday's throw, in part because I choked because A.J. Pruszynski ended up popping up as my catcher, which was a little startling. But today, did a little practice ahead of time, and I got it across the plate, so I'm pleased with the effort.
I would say a solid A for today, Marilla. First of all, hey, thank you for being with us. Congratulations on your victory. I asked you, the last time I talked to you, I said, what was going through your mind on election night the first time as the results were coming in? So what was going through your mind this time? You had a huge lead. I mean, I know we're not supposed to follow the polls, but you took every ward as the results were coming in. What was going through your mind this time, Mayor-elect?
Well, it was a little surreal. You know, we were hoping for a very good night and a mandate. To win 50 wards and win by almost 50 points, nobody predicted that, certainly not our internal plan. But, you know, I think what it really speaks to is this incredible desire for change. And I heard that on a daily basis, multiple times a day from people really all over the city. And the resounding win that we got, I think, really just underscored that. So I'm humbled and obviously honored by the support and confidence that people have invested in me, and I'm going to work hard every day to let them know that their support was well justified.
Knowing you and getting to know you throughout this whole campaign over the past year, Mayor-elect, I don't think it's lost on you that you did win all 50 wards and the people of Chicago all came together. You kind of unified people to sweep all 50 wards. People are saying, hey, we want a bit of a change. And I love the fact, and I think most Chicagoans love the fact that you're not going to be swayed by, say, perhaps maybe Alderman Burke, who is trying to rally certain people against you, and it's not going to sway you. And I think that's your message to Chicago.
No, I mean, I think anybody who looks at the election results last week and comes away with anything other than it's a broad and deep mandate for change is fooling themselves. And, you know, I'm going to work hard every day to be true to that mandate. But I think everyone else, including people on the city council, need to recognize the ways are just not going to prevail. The status quo has failed us, and I recognize that there are people who have been around and have profited from a broken political system, but it's a new day is dawning in Chicago, and I intend to do everything I can to exploit the mandate to bring a better kind of government to the city, one that isn't rife with corruption and that puts people first.
I think you had you took a very bold step yesterday. You sent out a note asking aldermen to host a hearing on the matter with regard to Lincoln Yards today. I think you had a big victory today. I wanted to see what your take on it. When the Finance Committee was set to vote this morning on the Lincoln Yards project, this is the $1.6 billion in TIF financing subsidies on two large-scale development projects, and Mayor Emanuel said he is going to delay that vote, and that's what he did today out of respect for you. Do you see that as a victory? How did you feel when Mayor Emanuel said that he was going to do this today?
Well, look, I've been very consistent since this Lincoln Yards project in particular first kind of burst into the public view last July. You know, we urged a much more transparent process. This is the equivalent of being a small city in the middle of Lincoln Park. And we need far more transparency than what's been given, particularly around the impacts this program, this the proposed development is going to have on all the surrounding neighborhoods. It's a massive project. It's clearly impact on transportation, on infrastructure, on schools, and you know we've had lawyers pour through the redevelopment agreement. Each of them for Lincoln Yards and for the 78 are like over 600 pages each. So, you know, 1,200 pages. It's not all boilerplate. There's a lot of detail in there that is going to have profound financial and other implications for the city. It makes sense to slow this thing down.
Yeah. Absolutely, and that's what happened too. I know when you're after you're sworn in, I'm sure you have a laundry list of things that you're already really getting started and hitting the ground running. But what's mm-hmm. something that you really want? Say maybe a day or two after you're sworn in, that you really want to get on the books, Mayor. Like that you really want to make one of your number one priorities within the first. I always hate to say 100 days, but say within the first few weeks of your administration.
Well. I think we have to make a pretty definitive statement about the plan for summer violence and be transparent with people about that and engage our neighborhoods about what role they can and should be playing. But I also think, you know, one of the first things I will do is make a pretty definitive statement about ethics and good government.
You met with Eddie.
I think it's going to be...
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I clipped you. I thought
yeah,
I lost you.
I expect that there's going to be some development now in May 20th in some of the public corruption cases that have been bubbling.
Yes.
Well, I think we're going to get, I expect, and, you know, I don't have any insider info, I expect that we're going to get a pretty big view of that sooner rather than later. And I think it's important for me as the new mayor to set the right tone about ethics and integrity in government.
Absolutely. I mean, that's what you've said from day one. You're going to have a different yep. look of a city council, too. There's some yep. Progressive Democrats. The progressive candidates have won. There's going to be a different city council. And I think that's a good thing for the city. I think it's almost like starting with not completely a clean slate, but kind of from a square one.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be an interesting mix, right? You've got a number of new people who are going to be coming in. And we've got some are more seasoned veterans and then, you know, everything else in between. But fundamentally, we have to give life and truth to the mandate that has been given. Because certainly it was a mandate to me, but a mandate for the entire elected class in our city, and people want change. And I think they've been waiting for a long time, but there hasn't been a candidate in which felt like they could put their trust and confidence around the change message. And I'm grateful that I'm given such a broad mandate.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said before, I'm not going to let anybody undermine that. I'm going to work hard every single day to give truth, life, and continuity to the mandate that we've been given.
You mentioned crime, too, just a few minutes ago, Mayor-elect. How was your yep. meeting with Superintendent Eddie Johnson?
You know, it was good. It was the first time that I'm obviously meeting with him in this new role. I have a lot of respect and a good relationship with the superintendent, and we sat down with his key executive team and started the process of mapping out. They're explaining to me, you know, what their plan for summer violence is. There's more work to be done and more things for me that I have an interest in learning more about, which I intend to do. But it was a good, solid first meeting.
Well, we appreciate your time. I know you're watching the game. Any predictions, or are you going to stay middle of the road?
You know, it's an interesting game. I think both teams are still trying to feel each other out. You know, it's a defensive battle. The offense, I don't think either team has really kind of fallen into a rhythm yet. And, you know, and nobody expected it. I think, well, Virginia probably was a pick of some folks, but you have to be a diehard Texas Tech fan to think that they were going to get to the big game. I like the whole Cinderella story. I think it's a good thing for the tournament and, you know, college basketball going through lots of iterations with the, you know, one, you know, it looks like the NBA may, which I'm totally against, open up to go directly from high school to the NBA. I think that's a terrible mistake and will, I think, have dire consequences for college basketball. But, you know, there's nothing better than madness. I mean, it's just great I watched the women's game last absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
Game, particularly in the fourth quarter. So this is clearly going to be a defensive struggle. As you know, you can see we're almost finished with the first half, and neither team has cracked 30 points yet.
Right. It's March Madness. Baseball's back, and you're about to be sworn in as the 56th mayor of the city of Chicago. So congratulations, Mayor-elect.
Well, thanks so much, and I love being on your show, and I look forward to coming back the next time.
Very good. Thank you, and enjoy your root beer float. And again, is it going to be the year of the Cubs or the year? No, I won't ask you that, Mayor-elect.
don't do that to me.
No, you have to be neutral. Hey, thank you so much. Enjoy your night with your family and your root beer float.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. That is the great Lori Lightfoot, the mayor-elect. She will be sworn in next month as the 56th mayor of the city of Chicago. All right, quick break here in the news. Back after this on 720 WGN. I wanted to make sure that everybody remembered that the Steve Cochran Show celebrates the most valuable person on the planet weekday mornings at 720 on 720 WGN Chicago. And if you are a smart speaker user, please say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. News at the top of the hour was sponsored by Builder Supply Outlet. Huge thank you tonight to Vivian Lanoux, our awesome producer, who's back from her vacation. Thank you, Vivian.
Thank you. Had a great time so far.
Yeah, you look nice and tan.
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
Not mad about it.
Thank you for punting. We threw you right into the show a few weeks ago, and you're just a rock star tonight. Lori Lightfoot was a little detained, but she's just awesome, and we love her people. We love her for being on with us. So,
absolutely.
And thank you for kind of going with the flow.
Yes, absolutely. It's been fun.
It's been a fun show. And we always love when Steve Burness from the Better Business Bureau is in studio. Hello, my friend.
Good evening. How are you?
Has my mom talked to you lately?
A couple weeks ago, I talked to her. It's been a while. I miss her.
She is so on your radar. I'm telling you, she's the one who told me about this. There's a timeshare scandal that was going on, and then I heard about that from another friend of a friend, and I mentioned it to you, and you said, "Oh my God, this is going crazy with this right now.
It's going crazy now." And I sent your mom a care package too, not too long ago.
Oh, thank you.
Yes,
she uses her BBB swag, which you always bring in for us.
I got them here.
I have to tell you, your swag is second to none. At this radio station.
Yeah, that's good. It's all over. We hope to. I love the seal, the BBB seal.
You know who's a fan of your chapstick is Kevin Powell from the Rokan Show.
Oh, Kevin, we golfed with him, remember?
I know, we did golf with him and Cochran and Dave Ennett and you and I.
We were a good team.
But thank you always for all the gifts that you always bring us everything. And I know it's springtime. I know there's a lots going on with you now.
Never stops.
Let me guess. I'm going to guess one of the biggest scams this time of year. Lawn services, gutter cleaning, things to do, home repairs.
Home repair is usually the tip off to the rip off.
Is it the big one?
It's the big one. It happens every year. People start, warm weather. Everybody wants to fix up their house and take care of from the winter blues.
Yeah.
And a lot of stuff, damage over the winter, snow and salt and all that stuff. So they get these people that travel door to door or neighbor to neighborhood.
I'm seeing so much of that lately, Steve. People coming up to the door and ringing the bell. And there was kind of a lull for a few years.
Seemed to be. Now that it's increased, we're seeing a lot more questions and concerns about them. And actually, some of them actually have different names for different neighborhoods. And it's kind of...
Do they really?
Yeah, it's a Spanish neighborhood. They put a Spanish name on their van. If they put a Polish neighborhood, they put a Polish name on their van. It's just people that... Sometimes they call them storm chasers, but really they are just people that are trying to scam you during this time and period.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, you can't tell sometimes. I mean, there's legitimate door-to-door people, so don't get me wrong, but you should never, ever, obviously, open a door to some you don't know. But secondly, more importantly, you always get three bids. So regardless if they come to your door or not, you should still get three bids from somebody, not just go with the lowest bid either. But a lot of people are just opening their doors and letting these people in their house or doing work on their home, and it's inferior work. They spray tar on the driveway or a little sealant, make it look good in the first rain, it all washes away.
Oh, see.
And there's this home improvement scams, roofings. I mean, people come over to your house saying that you got hail damage. I could see from the street you got hail damage.
Yeah.
Let's go up there and look at it. And they go up there and they make some damage. A lot of consumers, they bring up a hammer with them and they make their own damage up there, and then they claim it on the insurance company. So it's just got to be very careful out there.
And I know how you feel about paying cash.
Yeah, you never pay cash. Right. Never pay. That's important. Yeah. I mean, cash
for
is
a multitude of reasons. I mean, you need receipts.
You need receipt as well, but cash can't be traceable. So only you're giving somebody cash, it's like opening the window, throwing out the money. The same thing. Pay your credit card. Even if you have the money, pay with your credit card. You have your best protection under the Fair Credit Billing Act. Mm-hmm. And a debit card is good as well, but not as, it's better to use your credit card.
312-981-7200 is our number. You are always one of the most popular guests when we have text questions and phone questions. If you want to give us a call, Steve Burness with the Better Business Bureau, CEO and President.
There you go.
Executive Director.
There we go.
It took me how many years to get your title?
About 10. Only.
No.
All right, eight and a half.
Oh, we have to congratulate the Torch Award winner and the Diogenes Award winner this year.
Yes, the Torch Award winner. Obviously, the person was Dale Mueller from Amco Transmissions.
Yes.
Yeah, he won that as well. And the Torch Award winner, I'm drawing a blank right now.
Me. Oh, no, that was last
that
year.
That was last year as well. This year was, I'm drawing a blank. I can't believe it. It's one big cycle. Oh, my Lord.
We have so many great reporters in this town. Like, I know Brad Edwards does so much. Jason Knowles, Pam, of course. Yeah. Just so many different great reporters who are just on this beat.
Right.
And that's what they do. They basically work with you. And you're so great because you're always with Tracy, or you're on the different stations trying to get the message out that, you know, you don't want people to be scammed.
Not at all. We just did actually something with WGN TV today. Joe was in our office.
Oh, Donnellan, don't you love him?
He's a nice first time I get to meet him. So he looks great. But
I think he's got a future, don't you?
He does have a good future there. But there's never stopped. I mean, everybody says, can you tell a scam? No, you can't really tell a scam until you do some research on it. You can't tell what they look like, the criminals. They look like us. They dress like us. They talk like us. So many people are being scammed. We had a call from a Tribune. I'm not going to mention his or her name. A Tribune employee lost $2,500 today. They wired money for outside the country for a land deal or something. I didn't get the whole gist of it. But as soon as she said that she wired money, I said, that's a tip off the river. It's gone.
Right.
And it's really gone. So she's trying to get it back. But it's just a big problem that we're seeing. Scams. We can't keep up, Andrea. It's just unbelievable. People, amount of people are losing timeshares. That's a big problem.
I want to talk to you about that, Steve, because the timeshare story, and as I said, this was a friend of a friend, and she said, actually, it's a friend of a relative.
Sure.
And I know this woman, and she's smart and funny and bubbly and wonderful. And she had called, and we had a conversation, and she said, yeah, and it was this timeshare, and I gave him $12,000, and she just kept talking, and I went, hold on. That's a lot of money.
Right.
And you're an intelligent woman. Right. What happened? So, you know, this timeshare scam, it seems to be popping up again. Now, what is this?
So basically,
and how is this swindling?
Yeah, well, there's
people?
Two variations. There are legitimate timeshare organizations out there, so I don't want to, you know, say they're all bad.
Exactly.
But there's some out there that just take your money and run with it. Or there's an organization that said they can get you out of your timeshare. So it's just a combination where you buy into like a vacation type club, but it's a long-term contract. If you ever hear all the radio commercials, all the TV commercials about trying to get people out, think about all the people trying to get out. So you may not want to get into this. You may want to look a little bit deeper into it and check out the organization, obviously, with the Better Business Bureau.
Right.
But yeah, you're locking yourself into long-term contracts. Some of them are lifelong contracts where you got to keep paying the maintenance fees every year, and then you got a two-week stint at a nice hotel. Some of them are great. I mean, there's some nice timeshare, like Disney has a large timeshare, part of their organization. There are some legitimate ones.
Yeah,
but
there's some great
by
ones.
By and large, no. There's some bad ones out there, and some actually completely rip you off. So I'm not sure about your $12,000 friend of a
friend.
It
was at a strip mall outside of Naperville.
Right.
And it was just a company. Yeah. And at one point, I think it was a legit company, but then somehow everything went online, and, you know, it was payments, and it just
We're seeing an increase in those timeshare complaints as well, especially on the recovery side when you try to get you out. We had a bank call us recently from West Suburban Bank called us, and they basically said that this consumer just wired this organization in Mexico to try to get out of it. $50,000 they wired out to get out. And then they said it needed more, so they called up and they said, what can we do? I said, please stop him from wiring more money.
Right.
The consumer still, he didn't believe me, he didn't believe the bank, West Suburban Bank, and he sent another $50,000.
You know, I understand, and this is any age, Steve. This just is not seniors or millennials or baby boomers, you know, fill in the blank. I think any age, some people, and I might be guilty of this too, I think a lot of us are in many ways, that you don't want to be confrontational.
Sure.
You don't want to mess with the IRS. You don't, you know, you just want to pay your taxes and live your life and be with your family. And I think a lot of people, myself included, because I've called you for certain things, you get scared.
You do.
When you hear you owe money and you need to send it immediately or else this will happen.
Yeah, it works. That's why it continues to work. Everybody says, how's the IRS continue to work? Because people continue to give the scammers money.
Right.
The only way to put scams out of business is not to give them your business. And that's the most important thing. You have to check out the offer before you buy or hire.
Right.
And that's so important. We have a scam tracker on our website. So if you get a call from IRS, that's all you have to go is our scam tracker, type in IRS, and it tells you all the scams associated with that particular IRS scam. So we have, it's really consumers doing their due diligence. They don't take the time necessary to do their homework. They believe people on the phone. They scare them half to death. I mean, I have people call me crying, literally crying.
Oh, yeah.
And then at 1 week, they called every report in Chicago.
I called you that day, too.
I remember that. And I said, you probably got scammed by the IRS.
As soon as I called you and you picked up the phone, you said, you got the IRS call,
right.
Didn't you?
I
so
saw
did
your
Tracy
name come
Butler. We all got it
in 1 week. This happened. I don't know where they got all the numbers from, but it works.
Probably someone here.
But it happens all. Cochran, there you go. It happens all the time, and they're so good at it. I've been doing this for 32 years almost. As you know, I started when I was one, but I'm doing it for so long, you can't tell the difference between a scammer and a regular person. So
no.
People want to be believing, trustworthy. They tell you everything they want to hear because they're scamming you. They're a criminal.
And you have said this so many times on this show, on this radio station, all over Chicago, the IRS is not going to call
Never.
You. I got a letter in the mail from the IRS, and it said, you owe $17. And before I called you, Steve,
right.
I called my accountant, and I said, can you please look this over? Is this a scam? And she said, no, you actually owe the IRS $17.
Right.
So she said, do you want to write the letter or me? And I said, oh, you go ahead and write it. So, but
they usually send you a letter. They don't call you out of the blue.
No.
Anybody that wants you to do something in 30 minutes, that is usually a tip off to the rip off. The only thing you should do in 30 minutes is buy a pizza and get it delivered. That's it. Anybody else saying you got to pay something or get deported or you lose your license or you owe money, a bill, government, whatever it may be, that's the tip off to the rip off. 30 minutes or less.
It's,
don't do it.
It's Steve Burness, the president and CEO of the Better Business Bureau. We do have a couple of calls. Can you hang out for a little while, Steve? Excellent. 312-981-7200 is our number. We'll get to your calls after this on 720 WGN. Nine 735-720 WGN. Andrea Darlis, I'm with you here until 10 o'clock, then Patty Vasquez, and then Nick DiGilio. We are so excited to have with us in our studio tonight the president and CEO of the Better Business Bureau, Steve Burness. And as I told you, Steve, you always get so many texts and so many phone calls.
I'm getting texts from my friends now,
yeah.
Basically telling me, oh, shut up.
Right.
They know me too well.
They do. They do. Again, 312-981-7200 is our number. Let's take a phone call here. And Steve, just pop those headphones on right there. Hi, Chris. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Thanks for hanging on through the news. I know you had a question about one you get all the time, Steve, about these phone scams.
Yeah, Steve, I just wanted to check with you. In the wireless industry, you know, for decades, there's always been some suspicious characters out there. What's going on about wireless phone scams, and how is the BBB battling that?
Well, Chris,
I'm going to put you on hold. I'm going to put you on hold because your phone, ironically, was a little
yeah. Basically,
iffy there.
Wireless phone scams are all. There's basically people trying to get you to invest into these organizations. And basically, they're trying to. Some of them are scams and some are legitimate. But by and large, we're looking at them individually because there's so many different variations of this.
Right.
So I can't really say specifically on one particular one. But these wireless, they want you to invest into these types of situations.
You know what I did, Steve, is and Chris, this might help you too. I actually paid. I think it's 99¢ a month now, and it will identify on your phone as potential spam.
Correct.
And I think 99.999% it will say potential spam, or it'll say a crazy name like Peppermint Smith or something, like, which is truly a name that I did have on my phone one time. Not I didn't know this person,
right,
and I knew it was a scam. I know you're laughing. It sounds like a stripper name, I know. But yeah, it was something like Peppermint Smith, and that's how you know. But it kind of identifies. I almost think it's worth it to spend the 99¢ a month or whatever your carrier charges.
Yeah, some do. Some are good. Some are not. It's up to each carrier's different. But basically, the scammer knows how to get through those things. So, you know, they'll spoof it. They'll change it to the different numbers. They know how to get around it. So don't it's good they work, but again, the scammer is always going to find a way.
How weird is it when you call yourself, when your number pops up as though you're calling, or the first three digits?
As soon as they do the first four or five digits now, they're going that detail.
Yeah.
Because they want you to think, hey, this is really close to my number. It's got to be a coworker.
How do they get that?
It's all done by algorithms. So they basically, computers all do the work for them. They do automatic dialing. So they know the phone number, your phone number, and they just spoof it to two different digits in your phone number. It's all done by computers. So they press a button and it just constantly dials the individuals, and they wait to see who picks up. That's all they do.
Boy, we're talking about different scams, riskiest scams in 2018. Now, you have the BBB Scam Tracker. It's the risk report. And I love this because it usually, I think we've usually heard of at least half of these scams.
Right.
They've affected people in our listening audience. So what is, you had a recent story too.
A recent one is employment is actually scams were riskiest scams in 2018. People just like, well, how does that become a scam?
Does that become a scam?
Well, people are looking online for jobs and they actually post all their resume and all their information so people know who these people are. They know their email addresses. They got everything on them.
And your phone number.
And their phone number. So they call them and say, we got a job for you. Oh, you do? You can make $100,000 a year. We just need some information from you. We need your social security number, which employer does, and they ask for your bank account number, they ask for your mother's maiden name. Guess what? They steal your identity at that point, or they will charge you a fee saying that in order to get this job, you have to do is that you have to file for these applications. And you know, so basically, everything that employer asks for, the scammer asks for, it's a perfect opportunity because when you're on a website of a well known job listing service, you don't think you're going to get taken. But these people are like vultures, they sit on these sites of legitimate sites, and they have all this information about you out there. When you post your resume, you got your email address and some of the things, and you put personal information,
right?
So they use it against you. So hey, Mike, you're looking for a job, I got one for you, guaranteed. You know, pay you six figures, you don't need anything, but I need your credit card number.
And then people do because they've applied for a job, they put their resume out there. How do you know, Steve, which sites are secure on which to put your resume and put your information?
There's never
there.
100% secure sites. So I don't want to consumers know that you can be taken on any particular site. I'm not going to mention any names, but there's some well-known sites. What the scammers do is they go into those sites as well. So they act as an employer, and they actually see all this information. They try to get you off that site. So there's people that, you know, they try to get you into a different, you know, email me here, email at this address, get you off that website so they can't be monitored by the job listing service. So you just got to be very careful.
Why is it that, so I mean, we all do a lot of online shopping, and they ask for a phone number and an email address so they can confirm the order. And I can kind of understand the email address, so, you know, if you have a problem, you can email the person. But I hate giving out my phone number.
Yeah,
I mean, is that risky to do?
Well, you never know.
You can't decline, though.
Sometimes you can't decline it, but if you say no, you just have to do business somewhere else. But sometimes they will allow you not to give it. Just they don't feel comfortable. Some people get fake numbers. You know, as long as they have the email address, that's really what you want to get into. But the company behind you got to figure out what they're doing with your information according to their privacy policy. Some sell it.
Is that where you have to read everything?
Yeah, read
everything.
Nobody
click
does
accept.
That.
I never do that.
Nobody does. It's like three or four pages. I get that. So you just got to be careful who you give your information. If you give to a scammer or somebody that's going to take it and sell it to others, it's a commodity now. Your name and email address are commodities, so they're bought and sold on the marketplace all the time. And especially if you fall for these types of offers, your name becomes more popular to them and more sought after. So they want individuals like you that answer your phones, that have fallen victim to a scam, because they reload you. They actually try to scam you again. It happens all the time. So just because, never answer your phone. That's one thing. Let it go to voicemail.
Right.
You know.
Right. Is there, remember the do not call list?
Yeah.
Is that still,
it's still
does
there,
that still work?
It works, but for legitimate organizations who adhere to it, but the scammers don't care. They're violating federal law.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
They don't, and they're calling from a different
country. They're not going to check the do not call list.
So many times,
I
hear, you know, people record a conversation, I'm on a do not call list, but I don't blank and care, you know?
Right.
Because they don't care. They're calling from all over the world, and if they're scammers, they're not supposed to be calling you anyway, so they're doing something illegal already. So by the time you file a complaint, they're gone, you know?
Okay, now this is really Big Brother, but can you get people's personal information? So say you have the Ring or the Nest or home security cameras, things of that sort. And again, this might be extremely extreme paranoia, Steve.
Sure.
But you have to enter your information. A lot of people enter neighborhood watch programs, which are great because then you can keep an eye on you know, shady characters coming to your door, or just a neighborhood watch type of a program. But if you put your information in it when you're buying it, can they somehow get that information and track it back to your home and see through your security
cameras?
They possibly
could. Depends if they hacked that organization, you know, what all that information is stored, wherever that information goes. I mean, you really, in today's world, it's a matter of when you'll be hacked in some way, or your bank, or your...
You were hacked, weren't you?
I was hacked as well, and I was a victim of identity theft. So was former Attorney General Lisa Madigan.
That's right.
It doesn't matter who you are. You'll eventually be hacked in some way or a victim. So it's just a matter of time. You just got to be vigilant ahead of time and know what to look out for. So you can be protected. You live in a glass bubble and still have your identity stolen. It doesn't matter because you don't. Your information's everywhere.
Yeah,
it's in your doctor's office. So
I know.
Mine was actually. Somebody said they broke into the employee's office or the manager's office where my information
really?
Was stored. It was an employee. So I got a call from the Naperville Police Department saying that I've been a victim of identity.
Oh, and it was a former employee.
It was a former employee of that company that had the information I gave them to, and the employee came in. So your information's everywhere. Doctors.
It is.
Lawyers, it doesn't matter. So basically, you know, you can not give your information out, but you can still be hacked because you have bank accounts, you have everything.
You got to be. You know what always freaks me out? I think I've told you this before too. Is say you're buying a pair of gym shoes,
sure.
or you know, just say a pair of gym shoes, and you go to the website and you love the Nike with the pink swoosh and the yellow shoelaces. Then you go to Facebook or Instagram or any website you go to, there's the picture of the Nike gym shoes with the pink swoosh and the yellow shoelaces.
Yeah, they follow you around. It's called following you, and they have that ability to do that. So we suggest you clear your cookies.
Every day?
Every day. Yeah, you can now make
really?
A set on most computers. Again, I'm not a computer guru. Most computers, there's a switch. You can say clear on exit. You know, clear my cookies, and it'll clear all the information. So you should know that. If you don't, you can look in your owner's manual or talk to somebody who knows anything about your computer. Again, I'm not an expert in arena, but I do have that on my PC where you just clear out the cookies every time you delete.
And clear it on your phone, too.
Your phone, yeah. Some people don't think about the phone as well, but that's so
I
much
never do. I mean, I always do.
Yeah, people have all this information
as
out
I reach
there.
For the phone.
As you reach for the phone and do it now.
312-981-7200 is our number. It's Steve Furness from the Better Business Bureau. We do have a couple of texts and a phone call that we'll get to after this on 720 WGN. 949 on 720 WGN. A few more minutes here with Steve Furness from the Better Business Bureau, just ahead of the Patty Vasquez Show. We're talking about some of the 10 riskiest scams of the nation in 2018. And unfortunately, Steve, as you were telling me, that many of these have carried over into 2019.
They
so
have.
Why don't we go through a couple of these in the next few minutes or so.
Online purchase number two, and that's where basically just a lot of fake counterfeit websites, and you think you're buying from a legitimate organization, you're not. Fake checks, money orders, that's still a big problem. There was a huge problem last year. People have to remember, when you deposit a check, it can take up to 30 days to clear your bank. They always think in 3 days it clears. Never take a check and then ask to be sent wire money from that check, because that check can bounce in 29 days. So that's a big problem. If anybody gives you a check and says you to wire money or give money from that check, don't do it.
Don't do it.
Again, we talked briefly before about home improvement. It's a big problem in the springtime.
Yep.
Advanced fee loan scam, that's coming up as well. People saying that, you know, you're looking down on your luck, you look online for an advanced fee loan, all of a sudden you get these great offers. But the tip off to the rip off is you got to give money. So anytime anybody asks you money for a loan, that's the sign of a warning sign.
Right.
And you shouldn't do it. Tech support, somebody calling you. Bill Gates is not going to call you and tell you
right.
he's going to fix
or email
computer.
You. Sorry.
Right. And they do that all the time. And they ask you for money, or they lock your computer and you can only get out by calling them. So be very careful on those tech support scams. Nobody calls you out of blue and tells you you have a problem, you need to dial into your system. Investments, again, big problem, as we talked about that. Investments are always online, especially. You got to know who you're investing with, and nobody can guarantee any returns.
Right.
I don't care what they say, especially if they're related to church. We see a lot of those religious ones where they get everybody in the church to buy these investments. Be very careful on that, no matter if it's from a church or not.
Right.
Travel vacation, springtime's coming up, and you're going to have a lot of travel vacation scams, especially online. You know, people, you get these great offers. There's nothing behind it, and there's a lot of things they're doing now. They're renting houses, but it's not their house to rent. So basically, they're taking pictures already on somebody else's website and saying, it's their house, you want to rent it, send us a certified check, or give us your credit card number, and it's not theirs. So
but just be careful. I mean, if again, if you see something that looks suspicious, Just go to your website.
So gut feeling is something's wrong. That's what it usually is.
Yes.
And the tip off to the rip off. And government grants. The government doesn't give out free money. Everybody's just calling you out of the blue.
Darn it.
And so, unfortunately, you got to work for a living. And you can get grants, but you have to apply for them. Nobody's going to call you out of blue and ask you for your credit card information. So be careful on that.
Can I add one? Just years of working with you and years of learning from you. Sure. Fake tickets. I know it was the Cubs opening day today. The White Sox opened last week. It's just in Lollapalooza. People are excited. Riot Fest tickets are coming up. Be careful of those fake tickets.
Exactly. Especially buying on Craigslist, because these are really tickets you can't counterfeit, but the consumer buying doesn't know that, what they're buying.
Right. And so you can print it up on an air printer from anywhere.
Exactly. So people have to realize who you're buying from. Craigslist is probably the worst thing to buy tickets on, because you're not going to know until you walk into the stadium. I'm sure as many tickets that were bought online and fake for the Cubs game today as well. It happens all the time for the plays. Again, know your source and know who you're buying from, because the only way you can detect if it's scam until you walk in the door and it's too late.
Yeah, and there's nothing you can do once you get the tickets.
Exactly. Buy from reputable online ticket brokers and that are licensed.
In other words, accept the ugly reality that, we're surrounded by some not-so-honest people.
Yeah, very true. Very true. 312-981-7200 is our number. A couple of texts can we take here, Steve, before you have to take off here? Somebody said, love the show. Love you guys. I'm afraid there's no such thing as extreme paranoia anymore, because I said maybe I'm being extremely paranoid with some of these things.
Right.
But someone enjoying but learning from the timeshare conversation that we had before. Someone fell for this scam. Now they're looking for a legit lawyer and a way to get out of a timeshare.
Well, it's hard to do. You got to find a good one. So you can go to the Better Business Bureau website. We're actually a referral agency. So if you need an attorney or timeshare lease company, you can go to our website, look under accreditation, and see who's accredited by us and pick somebody from that list of people. So actually, Better Business Bureau is a free referral service.
Yeah,
so go to our website, bbb.org, before you buy or hire BBB.
There you go. Go to the website. From the 815, I'm wondering, are pyramid business schemes legal? Are they still scams? Are they out there?
They're out there. They're not illegal. And pyramid is basically when somebody takes money from investors and they pay somebody else back on the top. So those are usually the pyramid schemes, when they guarantee you money back, or if you give them money, we'll invest on that. Don't do it. Pyramid schemes are a big problem. And sometimes you don't know you're part of it. It's, Bernie Madoff, that whole pyramid thing
with
him. So these are legitimate people, that fell for it as well. But pyramids is usually when you start paying money back and you're not getting anything back from them. They're paying off the other investors. So it's just a rat's nest. Be very careful who you're investing with. Know them, trust them, and do some research on them with the BBB.
My mom always used to say, when in doubt, don't.
Yeah, that's a good one.
You have
your mom's a very smart woman.
I know, she loves you. Oh my god, she's listening right now. I know she's gonna be calling
me
tomorrow.
Hi mom, listen to her.
One more from the 630, Steve. Cubs tickets are digital only. Should this person still be wary?
Yes, you always have to be wary, because people don't know they're all digital, so they'll still try to sell you tickets. That's what I'm saying. The Sox and the Cubs are trying to avoid these tickets by doing digital and on mobile, but people buying tickets online don't realize this, and they are buying fake tickets.
Yeah.
They don't know what they're buying.
Yeah.
So anybody offers you Cubs tickets, no.
Don't do it. No. Don't.
Unless you know them and trust them.
Right, right. Well, you've tried to do that to me. You've offered me Cubs tickets several times.
And you bought it, too.
I know I did. What the heck?
For the first 2 years.
Yeah, I couldn't get in the park. Steve, you are always so generous. Every time you come in, you have gifts for the listeners.
Right. We have the website, webcam covers. So this actually covers that go over your computer. It's free of charge from the BBB. Just reach out to me at the Better Business Bureau. I'm on Facebook. I'm online. Go to BBB website for Steve Burness. It's webcam covers. You put it over your webcam covers. So you slide it back and forth when you need your camera. In case you're hacked, they can see through your camera, so we want you to protect. Instead of putting a tape over it, you have a Better Business Bureau, tool here to prevent you from anybody using your camera.
Perfect. Thank you, Steve. Let's do one more quick phone call before you have to get out of here. Hey, Victoria.
Hi there.
Hey, you had a question for Steve Burness.
I do. My mom, they're in their 90s, and they had, my mom had an HVAC person come out for a $69 furnace cleaning. Well, it ended up that the gentleman kept telling my dad that the carbon monoxide level is very high and that they need to have the furnace replaced. And my dad generally doesn't do this, but he immediately went to the bank. He was scared. He went to the bank and got $14,000.
How much?
Oh, no.
$14,000.
$14,000? How big is the house?
Yes.
Is it large?
I've called other companies, and they said the most it would have been for air conditioning unit and for central air and for the heating, the furnace, the most it would have been was $6,000.
Usually $6,000 to $8,000 for a home, a regular-sized Chicago home.
Exactly.
But you can file a complaint with us, the Attorney General, as well. But, you know, the squeaky wheel always gets, you know, the oil, so... Please file a complaint with us. If unfortunately, you wish your dad would have paid with a credit card, like I mentioned earlier in the show.
I know.
But he didn't know,
Yeah, you don't know that. But
file the complaint, Victoria.
Yeah, please call the Better Business Bureau and file online.
I guess it was just the carbon monoxide, and they just were so scared. They thought they were going to die.
Yeah.
It's a scare tactic that happens all the time.
Completely.
If somebody ever tells you that, you just have somebody else, you have a second person look at it, unless you know and trust the organization. But a lot of times they scare the heck out of people, like they did people in their 90s, like she said, her mom and dad.
You know, Victoria, we're so sorry that they went through that, but please file that complaint tomorrow, okay?
I will do that. Thank you so much. Enjoy listening.
You bet. Thank you so much. Bye. Poor Victoria. And please keep us posted on your parents
please,
and
especially
what happens.
Victoria, call me, please, tomorrow. Let me know, too. I'd like to get involved in this one for you.
Absolutely. And you answer all the calls. I know you do.
I do.
And all the emails. So, Steve, thank you so much. Again, how can our listeners get the webcam cover?
Basically, go to the Better Business Bureau site and look under Steve Burness. Find my emails there and just email and say you're a listener to the show, and I'll give them free of charge, as we did many other times. So we have a great following and great listeners, and we love to help. And please call the BBB first, not after. I've been doing this for 32 years. I wish people would call the BBB first, because it's too late sometimes.
When in doubt,
check it out with the Better Business Bureau.
Thank
before you.
You
buy or hire, BBB it.
Thank you, Steve.
My pleasure. Always a pleasure.
You bet. Patty Vasquez is coming up next, 720 WGN.